do something.
Well, we're here.
Are we?
Could you hear that?
Barely.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to have to hear it as it blasted through my headphones into the microphone.
Yeah. When you say we're here, are you in Curvo?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the microphone. I'm not in my normal setup, obviously, and that's causing some issues. So, welcome to the show. We are...
Yeah, Thanksgiving streaming special. Live.
Okay, hold on. You've got
your setup's being a turkey.
Oh, that's my song. That's right.
Yeah, I was planning on playing that. And then
yeah, this
I was
is. Planning on, I'm your genie.
Planning on getting this guy going here. Yep. 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 And then last but not least, we got.
Shark attack.
Yeah, we got a full house tonight.
There's a shark in the waddle.
So you know what's good is when your audio doesn't work is you play more drops.
Yeah, perfect.
It's a pretty good strategy. Welcome to the show. We got the 2.5 commissioners plus Ryan. Let's just go ahead and say it, the league champion of 2022.
No, I'm leaving. That's it. I'm leaving. I'm not going
to
sit here.
That's actually why we have you on here. We're going to just give you the award now.
Just wait until y'all see Ryan's power rankings is all I'm going to say.
If you're gonna crown him, crown him.
I loved Denny Red. He is the best.
Denny Yellow.
Well, we're here. We are starting at 10:50 on a Wednesday. Our audio equipment's not working great, so we're just going to power through this.
Yeah, you sound like you're...
Sounds like he's in Kerrville.
Calling from a well.
I can't wait to hear this back. It sounds like perfect on my end. That's what's so upsetting to me.
And it was sounding it good. It was sounding good until about 30 seconds ago.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
This is the point where everyone stops listening to the podcast.
This is the point.
I'll still listen.
They should have never listened in the first place. Do you guys want to talk about week 11 a little bit? I'm gonna be very quiet on this show because my audio sucks. So you guys take it away. Week 11, go.
Recap the picks.
Yeah, we'll just go quick matchup by matchup here. We'll roll through it real quick. We're gonna start out by saying this is the very first week that in picks of the week. And I didn't give him last week, but I made him. That someone went undefeated. And that honor belongs to Stuart.
Yes, thank you. I picked everyone right. 21 points.
I mean, you picked yourself. That was right. Jonathan and I picked Jonathan. How dumb was that?
Yeah, that's because y'all do that a lot just to be jerks. And
I mean, that wasn't even close.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. I destroyed Jonathan.
Like, Jonathan barely getting to 100. He got 104.65. You know, Stuart, you had a quarterback. You had a quarterback do 28 points, and you only had 133. So, I mean, how do you feel about your performance?
Well, I had Rondale Moore scored negative 0.5, which is pretty rare for a wide receiver. You've seen that at the quarterback position a few times, but you don't see that very often at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think it was the first play of the game, or like for sure. It was for sure his first catch. It went for -6 yards and he pulled his hamstring. It was out the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I didn't care to watch that game anymore after that.
Welcome to every week I've ever this whole season for me.
Yeah. And Dante Foreman, I really debated I felt like I should start him just because I traded for him. But I was thinking that I was going to play Antonio Gibson, and I should have, because that would have given me even a little more margin in my victory. But it didn't really matter because I was playing Jonathan, and he sucked it up big time. None of his guys really performed well. So,
yeah, I mean, you had a combined, 14 points from Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, and Pierce.
Yeah.
I mean, that sums it up well. I mean,
he's so mad at McLaurin, he cut him.
I cut him. I cut him. I went from one commander to the other, and I went with give me the booby.
What happened to Justin Jefferson? Was that game just that? Was Dallas that good? I didn't watch the game.
Oh, Dallas was ridiculous on defense.
The Kirk Cousins didn't have more than a second to do anything.
The Vikings tried to run the ball early. Dalvin did have a good day running the first quarter and a half.
Gotcha.
And then before they knew it, they were down three possessions. Yeah.
You know that the Vikings have a point differential of like -2 on the season, and they're 8-2.
Yeah.
And they just won a lot of close games, and they've been blown out by two good teams. They beat the Bills. That Bills win was legit, but other than that, I feel like they've got a little lucky. And both times they've lost, like their starters don't finish the game. Like, it's not close. The Vikings will get blown out on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done that the past couple of years of just one score matchups. I want to say they've had the most overtime games, but I don't know that to be true though. So yeah, Jonathan, you lost. That was a big loss from a playoff perspective. We can talk about here in a little bit. Also, last week we had the matchup of Bryce versus Daniel. That turned out to be closer than I thought it would. Bryce ended up scoring a little bit more than I thought was originally going to happen going into Monday, but 117-85. Saquon and Christian McCaffrey, 20 points total. They've been giving him 20 points each every week, it felt like. And then the big part of that is losing Kyle Pitts on IR. Not that Kyle Pitts is anything special.
Where's the loss there? It's probably doing him a favor.
The expectations, anything. I mean, you're probably have more realistic expectations. I was going to say that I'm looking at the rush attempts for CMC. I mean, is that really a truly split backfield? He had 7 rush attempts.
Yeah, for him, it's not rushes, it's touches, and he's catching enough balls, and it's actually more valuable to catch the ball.
Yeah, 15 touches. So, but his ceiling is definitely limited to what it probably was in Carolina, where it was 20 to 25, 30 touches.
Yeah, when you're 90% of the offense versus just 30%.
Well, it was interesting in that game too. Right. They brought Debo back into the backfield again. Debo had a rushing touchdown, which, you know, that's what he does, but it's not a good sign when you've got Mitchell, Debo, and
McCaffrey. Yeah, they can win in way more ways than Carolina could, which was CMC had to go off for 30 fantasy points, and then maybe they would win. But, you know, CMC could touch the ball 10 times, and San Francisco could still win.
Shanahan didn't, and the 49ers didn't bring him there to win by him touching the ball 40 times. They don't need him to do that. They need him for the playoffs, so they're not going to run him into the ground. He's going to be safe and do just enough, but I think for CMC, it's going to come down to touchdowns on how well he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's much to say about Daniel unless y'all want to add anything. We talked about Daniel already.
I think he's underrated. I think you guys have just not paid enough respect to him. And I, for one, think you guys have been disrespecting him way too long.
All I'll say is another week under 100. So we'll move on.
I wish I would have got one of those weeks.
I know. So I beat Mike Searles last week, even though Amari Cooper had 30 points for him. And he did it on the road, which never happens.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike's defensive players kind of let him down. At one point, he was projected to win. I think I posted on Sunday the two Mikes were doing good. And I think at that time, they were both projected to win. Mike Staffel against Ryan and then Mike Searles against me. Obviously, didn't happen.
This is Amari Cooper's first week at an away game where he's a top 31 wide receiver. His previous away games, wide receiver 83, wide receiver 90, wide receiver 32, wide receiver 66.
And
And this week he's wide receiver two.
Well, maybe he should play the Bills in Detroit more often.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. I will say that I cannot see any reason to start Russell Wilson the rest of this year, maybe the rest of fantasy ever.
That was a good matchup.
Jeez, what a shot.
Yeah, he's awful. And he's been terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that was the matchup to do it. The weird thing about it is if you look at his schedule, he's actually got favorable matchups, but it's just like, I don't know if he's going to do it. You know, he played Las Vegas in week 4 and had 31 points. So you figure if he's going to do it again, this would be the week he had 10. So, yeah. David Montgomery coming to life, Aaron Jones. I mean, Mike Searles, just to fast forward, I've got him last in power rankings. I don't think his team, I mean, he's got players on his team doing well. 116 wasn't the lowest score this week, but yeah. Tough break not having some of the defensive players kind of chime in more. We also had, and everyone picked me to win last week, so no one lost that. We had Jackson and Joey. I picked Jackson to win. That was a mistake. Joey actually wins. Y'all both picked Joey with a confidence level of one. Joey goes in there
and scores
154 points, of which Lamar Jackson only participated 15 to that.
Yeah, Joey out of nowhere's got three really good running backs.
Yeah, it's Paul. It was the Pollard week. I mean, that's he carried him.
Yeah,
Josh Jacobs has been the horse all year, which I don't know.
I mean, you could argue he's four good running backs.
That's right. You got Fournette on the bench as well.
Well, and I've talked to Joey about this, but I don't think Fournette's going to be the starter moving forward with Rashad White.
You talked to Joey, or you talked to the coach?
No, I tried to trade Joey for one of his other running backs so he could own the backfield and have at least the starter, but they've said that his hit pointer could – I think those hit pointers typically don't cost most running backs a week or two, but I think they said that Fournette's not going to be starting, so we'll see.
Yeah, Joey, I think the past couple of weeks his arrow is definitely pointing up. You know, with those running backs we talked about, T. Higgins had a strong game. 148 yards. I've talked about T. Higgins and my love for him on this show. But, you know, Allen Robinson coming back, you know, now that Cup is injured, he had a good game. He had 12 points. A good game by his standards is what I'll say. If Joey can figure out that second wide receiver spot, you know, he's as good as anybody to put up weeks like this. I mean, if Lamar does what Lamar does, you know, where he's going to be beginning of the season, he could have had 200. Mm-hmm. And so
Lamar didn't practice all week. He was sick.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think Joey's got quite a bit more potential than I probably give him credit for. And he's probably one move away from getting into the playoffs. And then who knows, he gets the week something like this with Lamar doing what he does or can do. And you've got an upset, and he's into round two. But, you know, it could also go the other way, which we can talk about playoff stuff in a little bit.
Yeah, let's – well, do we have any other matchups to cover here? Oh, yeah, we do have a couple more, I guess, if we're going down the list.
Yeah, we had Ryan and Stafford.
Which I will say just real quick, we did talk about that Joey-Jackson matchup being a big swing potential for – playoff purposes. And yeah, I do think that was a pretty dominant win for Joey. So I think Joey in a lot of ways is in the driver's seat to make the playoffs now. Whereas if he would have lost last week, he pretty much would have been out, I feel like. So
yeah. You know, from I guess we'll spend a little bit more time on Jackson since he's going to be one of these playoff teams, but he started Jared Goff. Obviously, he's not on his roster anymore. He's got Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Do y'all think Deshaun's going to come back and do anything special or be good, or has he not played in too long? I know in the preseason he was underwhelming. It seemed like.
I think his floor is going to be decently high. He's got a strong run game. Maybe Kareem Hunt starts to get back in the fold, catching passes out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it depends how Stefanski uses him. I really think there's no reason to, I don't know. The Browns don't have anything they're playing for, right? They're not actually going to make the playoffs. So it may not be worth even playing him in a way that's going to risk his health. So yeah. It may just be very conservative play calling and just seeing what pieces they have around him since he's locked in for the next however many years.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be what he was in Houston. I'll say that at least this year. Next year, this is a totally different story, but I think this year it's going to be kind of a preseason type. Let's just see what we have going into next year.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he's a wild card for Jackson, seeing the way I see him. If he can be anything close to those Houston days combined with, you know, the big news for him was Najee Harris having a big week at 27 points. But if you look at he's got Najee, Joe Mixon, and Ramondre. That's a good running back core. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, Hollywood Brown is going to be back. And Hollywood Brown, before he got hurt, was a top 10 receiver.
Real quick, I wanted to make a note about the Steelers and how inept their offense has been this year. I think I heard it first on Red Zone that when Najee scored a 19-yard rushing touchdown, it was the longest scoring play of the season for them.
It's been bad. It's very, very bad.
Super bad. Compared to
their offensive line is bad. Their quarterbacking has been bad. I mean, Bryce can tell you about Deontay Johnson. And, I mean, yeah, he's getting the targets, but they just do not have the ability.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting all the targets, but the ability is not there. The big play ability isn't there. I think Najee has been – I think he's still talented, but I think they said at the beginning he had that was it the Liz Frank or something in his foot that's, I think, been kind of hampering him all year, but I just don't think that talent matters right now.
Yeah, I mean, 26 touches, though, at that position and, you know, the opportunity to get touchdowns, which he did this past week. You know, running back three. He's got a good schedule moving forward.
Yeah, right matchups. He's going to be valuable.
And so you combine what could happen with Deshaun Watson, his strong running back core between Stevenson, Najee, and Mixon. And I say strong in the sense of their quality starters, Debo, and then Hollywood Brown, and then a tight end that's not Kelsey or Anders. you know, I think he's probably similar to Joey. It just didn't go his way. It's 6 points from his quarterback, but I don't think he's that far off from maybe making and being, you know, someone that could be a little bit scary if his team has the right matchups on any given week.
I think one of the things that hurts him, though, is, and you saw this week with Damian Harris coming back, is he's stealing touches from Ramondre Stevenson. And I mean, even though I think Stevenson will still be the lead back, you know, with Harris out, Stevenson was getting a lot more touches and a lot more fantasy points. And you see this past week that they're kind of.
So I'm curious what you guys think. So New England's going to be fighting for a playoff spot. I don't think Pittsburgh is. How much do you guys think that matters for players like Najee or Ramondre?
Well, I think Ramondre's a locked in start, but to Stewart's point, I think the funny thing is about that Patriots offense or the Patriots in general is Belichick does not give a crap about fantasy football. So he will – that game last year was the perfect example where they beat the Bills and they threw the ball, I think, like three times. And they don't – he doesn't care. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. So if Damian Harris is having the better game, he's going to be the guy. But – yeah, I don't know. I think that, to David's point, I do think that Jackson's got a lot of weapons. And you look at the other options. Ramondre's been a top 10 guy pretty much all year.
He's running back nine right now.
Yeah. So
Harris playing most of the year.
It's not really that concerning, I would say.
He's actually pretty steady. If you look at his targets the past 5 or 6 weeks, it's 5 targets, 8 targets, 7, 6 targets. I mean, he's getting, you know, and those are valuable points, right? But he's been a top 12 wide receiver or running back, or top 15 running back, we'll call it, or you could say 16 the past 6 weeks. So
yeah, my only point to that was Ramondre's the guy you would run with, but you never know what Belichick could do with just one game. Yeah. So it could be a game that hurts Jackson. Just like ironically, it was Damian Harris that killed Jackson last year with Daniel. So, but other, I mean, there's no question you roll with what you got. I think Jackson's got a good team. That's the point here.
Yep, for sure. And so that really takes us into the matchup we didn't talk about, I guess, too. David Senior Lewis failing to score 100 points, and then Senior 171. This is what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. We said it on the text. Travis Kelce 35 points, Patrick Mahomes 36 points. Three touchdowns.
Seriously, what do you think if you're like mentally preparing to play Senior, what do you budget in your head for the Kelce Mahomes stack? Like, what do you think that they're going to start with? I mean, I don't know if you think of it that way, but I'm thinking like they're going to have 60 to 70 points every game, just almost built in.
Let's read it. Let's read off Travis Kelce's tight end finish through the year. We'll start at week one. Tight end one. Week two was his worst week. Tight end 15. Then tight end three. Tight end three. Tight end two. Tight end three. Tight end three. Tight end three. Tight end two. Tight end one.
That's not even fair to even say that, because if you look at what that difference is in total raw points from his finish to the next guy, like it doesn't do it justice just from a ranking standpoint. Like Kelce's so far and away the number one tight end, it's not even fair.
Well, I think it does because you're right as well. I guess what I didn't say is any given week you have that random tight end like Johnson from the New Orleans Saints where he's getting two touchdowns.
Right.
And he's the tight end three on the week and he's got 25 points. To be doing tight end three every single week of the year or better, but one.
Right.
We see it in his points. He's had, take out week two where he's tight end 15. He's had 12 points in one other game, and then every other game has been 17 or more. I mean, that's just a huge advantage.
Yeah, so that week where he had 12 points, he was tight end three. A couple weeks before that, he was tight end two. He had 30 points.
Yep.
You know, and that's only one tight end. It's insane. You're going to get, you know, I think you're going to hope for 55 on the low side on that stack. Realistically, you're in the 60s. You know, so, worst case scenario, you're in the 70s.
So I wanted to ask this, and I posted it on the chat. Who would you say are the top five – MVPs and let's take position scarcity or position advantage into the conversation. Who are the top five difference makers in fantasy football? Travis Kelce is in that top five, in my opinion. Right?
Yes. So to the point I was just saying, I just looked this up on Sleeper. Kelce's averaging 20.3.
Yep.
He's averaging 20.3. The second highest scorer who hasn't even been playing all season is Mark Andrews at 12.9. Then it's Dallas Goedert at 10.5. And then it's George Kittle, who we know has not been great, at 10.4. So Kelce is doubling up on the next tight end that's actually playing weekly. Yeah. That's a huge advantage. You're playing two players in one spot, essentially, compared to everybody else.
Yeah, it's a two-touchdown advantage every single week.
Yes.
Well, and that's what I would say is it makes Senior so dangerous is – that list, I would say Kelce is one of those, and I would say Mahomes is one of those. fact that they're on the same team, it's like, man.
It's a stack. I mean, his points come in such big quantities that your lead doesn't ever feel safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that week where he was tied in 12 or 13 or whatever it was, that was Mahomes' second worst week, which he still put up 22 points, but yeah, I mean, I was going to say, you know, you live by the door, live by the sword, die by the sword, but there's not going to be much red in here. You know, I mean, they're going to be successful more often than not.
No, Andy Reid knows how to coach and he knows how to game plan those guys. It baffles me. And I think Bryce and I harp on this the most in the chat when the best players on the field are left wide open, it looks like. And that's just good scheming and good coaching and
especially
Andy Reid.
The Chiefs cannot run the ball.
How do you not just triple team Kelce?
Yeah.
That's what I just don't like. My simple dumb football brain. It's like just don't let Kelce get open. Yeah. But they're scheming him open. Diggs gets schemed open on the Bills. Like there's guys that just you know, Jefferson gets schemed open on the Vikings generally.
Part of it too is the quarterback and throwing them open and throwing it to them. You've got certain quarterbacks that don't throw it unless they're open.
But that's
I think the other. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers, and you heard it. I don't know if y'all watched this last week where they were talking about Aaron Rodgers was sharing his frustration with his wide receiver, and his point to them is, I want you to be where the ball's going to be because that's where you need to be.
Right.
And he's throwing before they're coming out of their cuts, whereas other quarterbacks, they just can't visualize something. So quarterbacks are part of that as well.
Yeah. 100%. That's the next level.
Yeah, and Mahomes is doing that. So you've got – it's just the perfect kind of –
They stack all three of those things, right? Kelsey's got the talent. Mahomes got the talent. And
I think we was having this conversation with David earlier this week, but, you know, with these wide receiver team changes, you know, Devontae, Tyreek, you know, Stephon Diggs a couple of years ago, I was very unsure. It was hard for me to keep Devontae, you know, going to the Raiders. Well, I guess that he was traded at the time, but I wasn't sure how much success he was going to have. But, you know, and Tyreek, too, I think expectations were tempered quite a bit. He wasn't a keeper. He was drafted this year in Miami. And I think it just goes to show you how much the talent level has really changed at the wide receiver position. I mean, those guys are game changers for those teams. So,
yeah, you're right.
Quarterbacks.
I mean, A.J. Brown falls in that category, and they recommit to those guys, and they build a game plan around them. And that's, I think, a big difference from, like, 20 years ago, where it was built more around the running back or even, you know, quarterback-centric. And now they're realizing these guys are weapons. You know, Deebo Samuel, you got to give them the ball in space and let them go make a play.
Right.
And anyway, it's a good point. It's definitely a change from the past 5 years where these guys normally change teams. That's a bad sign. And now it's kind of like, just bet on the talent. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hey, Mahomes,
I was going to say, let me tell you real quick. Or what were you going to say, David?
Well, go ahead. I was going to say Mahomes, I might put as number two in that MVP conversation as well. For the exact same reason. If you look at Mahomes, he's averaging 34 points per game.
You go Josh down, Allen's there.
Josh Allen's 31.
I think Allen last year was probably –
Joe Burrow's 29, but if you just take the sixth, which is the median, I would say, of the league, right? The sixth best quarterback on the year, that'd be Tua. Tua's averaging 26 a game. You know, and obviously that includes some big blow-up games for Tua, 58 against the Ravens. That's another 8 points there, right? So you're talking 18 points. That's three touchdowns between the two of them relative to the, you know, the sixth best at their position.
Jeez. Yeah, the being number one at your position is not even fair, you know, because they're so much higher than that second tier. It's
I just went and added up Mahomes and Kelsey's points. 73, 30, 35, 49, 68, 44, 50, 60, 59, and 72. So that it's which they're averaging 54.
I want you to read those back and I'll compare it to seniors' wins and losses here.
Yeah, exactly. It's 54.4 points per game.
Yep, that's right. So that's the baseline,
Jonathan. That's the baseline, yeah.
Yeah.
55 points.
55
It's 55 points. And that's average. And
they've had 73 and 72. 68. So I mean, they've had some,
which is almost what Daniel put up this week. So
the ricochet shots. Daniel, keep your helmet on if you're listening to this. The ricochet shots are coming.
I can't play any drops, otherwise I would.
I mean, you could take probably eight players from all of our teams, and it probably doesn't add up to that. You take our eight worst, and he's doing it in two. Now, that's what makes him dangerous, right? There's only nine position players doing more than 20 points per game, and Kelsey's one of them. So,
Stinkbug.
I don't know what that is. So, did we cover? Sorry, go ahead, Stuart.
I was just gonna say, my week two, my QB wide receiver stack was 101 points.
Tyreek Tua.
Is that the Ravens game?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Tyreek had 44 58.5 and Tua had 57.
Goodness.
That's pretty funny. But yeah.
I think Waddle, that's 38 that game.
That's got to be the highest QB wide receiver
comp for sure. Yeah, the year for sure.
Yep. A Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase stack would be pretty good too, I feel like. But that doesn't.
Yeah, especially the one last year where
he had 60.
He had 60, final, yeah. Right?
Yep, in the final. Almost got Lewis there single-handedly.
It looked like he had it locked up.
So but the other matchup that we didn't really cover was Ryan versus Mike Staffel. We kind of made some references to it. Ryan, do you want to tell us how you feel?
Not a great week. Not a great week overall. Devontae, great game. Jalen Hurts, decent game. Mike, best. Is it his highest score on the year?
I think second.
Second highest score.
But Mike now has done 144 twice, guys. So round of applause for Mike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Wish I could play the drop.
But I will say Mike is peaking at the right time here. If he was going to make the playoffs, his two highest scores have been this week, week 11 and week 10. 153 in week 10, 146, both losses.
He did it with 0 points from Kadarius Toney, 146.
So Mike and I were actually talking about this. Mike has the second highest scoring defense on the week with, gosh, I totaled it earlier, 53, I think it was. 50 mid-50s. I think I had 63. But going to look at defenses, there's a lot of weak defenses out there. I'd like to see the the scores again from, you know, median and lows. Last year, that was a huge weak spot for me. I think I had scored like my average was like 15 or 18 or something.
Yeah, Stewart did this. I think it was Stewart who did this analysis last year. It was really helpful, and I think it revealed that you were really bad defensively.
Terrible. Yep. And Mike has consistently had a good defense. So
I did end up doing that, and it was a pain in the butt, and it didn't really. I didn't feel like it really showed us a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. Given that I feel similar to what Ryan was doing last year, where I can't even achieve what I'm projected to do, it's hard to focus on defensive players when your offensive guys are just farting and falling down every week. So,
yeah,
I see a correlation there in some capacity. Okay, so great recap. We obviously had some playoff implications with Joey and Jackson kind of setting the table for spots 7, 8, and 9. There was quite some chatter in the chat this week about tiebreakers and the interpretation of the rule. Sounds like we've got it figured out as far as a three-way tiebreaker outside of a division winner. It boils down to win percentage head-to-head.
Yes.
Of the three teams involved or more.
Or more, yeah.
Going forward, that's totally fine. I was under the impression personally that it would follow like what the NFL did, which was it picks the top team and takes them out and then you start over. I think Joey obviously thought it was that way too, and that's why he proposed that more formal document on the tiebreakers for next year. But what, so is there, I just wanted to ask the question because I don't care, and honestly it helps me this year if things go my way, but why did we do it that way? Was there a rationale, or was that just like the easiest thing to do?
We were trying to avoid as many or as little recalculations as possible. I think trying to simplify it as much as possible, where you just do it at most.
Just do twice. It one time.
At most twice, meaning the division winner. Because what you couldn't have is, let's say, like this year's a good example, where you have four teams from one division that are for sure in. And then you could have another four teams from another division that could have been in, right? We had one year where it was, I think all the teams would have been out.
Yeah.
Right. The division winner snuck in. Yeah.
Yes, and the division winner. So that's why we wanted to put a emphasis on the division winner, and that's why that was broken out. Otherwise, we just wanted to calculate it once.
Got it.
To avoid having to do that. So that was at least the intent. And we've had, and it's come into play a couple times over the past couple years, actually.
Yeah, I feel like it has too.
But it hasn't been, it's been for more seeding of teams who are already in the playoffs. So we've had a lot of teams that it was a tiebreaker between are you the third or fourth seed, third, fourth, fifth seed that right. we've been doing that way for years. So it's not, it wasn't just simply are you in the playoffs. It actually hasn't come into play, I think, from a playoff perspective where you've had more than three tied and two get in.
Yeah, and there's still a lot that could change. I mean, it could be a moot point, but it was a great conversation piece to figure out, you know, this could be someone left out of the playoffs because of the way the tiebreaker set up, which is fine.
Yeah, it changes drastically depending on how you enforce it. And there's many different ways to do it. Those aren't the only two.
Right.
But yeah, that's just what we've been doing, what we've done, so, and why we do it that way, or have.
Gotcha. Well, hey. This is why we have a summit. You can, if you feel strongly about changing it and you have a good reason why, let's discuss it. It hasn't really impacted anybody in a real significant way at this point. And again, there's still 3 weeks left in the season. It could be one of those things where we don't even have a tiebreaker that we need to settle out at least in a three-way version of it. But good clarity there. I've never asked the question. I think I said it 1,000 times in the chat. I just, whatever you say, David, you're the ones who always did that manually. So I just,
yeah. And it only really matters for the purposes of deciding who gets in. And so once they get back in, it actually reverts back, as weird as that sounds. But we shouldn't have that problem this year at all. It's going to simply be what I just said, where you just go calculate head to head percentage wise.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, just so we're clear, I'm the rules committee expert, the RCE rules committee expert, and the fact that you didn't trust me, there's going to be a fine against you for that. So, Dave and I have already talked about it.
It was funny to I think it was you who posted the rulebook, Stuart, or someone posted it.
Stuart did, yeah.
And then to have the, because I know how it was written, it was the way that Stuart was interpreting, because I wrote that language. But to hear the other side of it, and this scenario that you said, I could definitely see what y'all were saying.
Yeah, the assumption we made was, okay, follow the same formula that you did with the division winner, and then the only difference is you're doing,
right?
You're adding the third team and then starting over, but. I just, again, thinking that you didn't want to write all that out again. That was my thought, but hey, it's all good.
I still read it the same way Stuart interpreted it. I just see how you could maybe misinterpret it.
Yeah, and I just knowing that's how I think pretty much most pro leagues do it, where they look to separate the top team out and then they recalculate. That was just an assumption I made. I didn't actually know to be true. So, good. I'm glad we hashed it out. And again, the funny thing was I forgot that in our scenario, I did that backwards. I had actually beaten Jackson and Joey. So
yeah.
It's going to help me. That's why I'm kind of like, I feel bad if this
so,
is
so yeah, let's, happens, let's but. Do a little talk, I guess, moving forward. So right let's now, it. As it stands, you would have, well, let's just talk about teams we think are locked in so we can take these guys out of the conversation. Ryan obviously has clinched his playoff berth. At 9-2, Bryce has it well, and Stewart at 8-3.
Well, Ryan's already clinched the championship. We already all know this, yes. So let's all talk about second place.
We're battling for second place. So Stewart, Bryce, and Ryan have all clinched today. I think that's it, actually. Then you've got Senior, myself, and Lewis at 7-4. Senior has a tough schedule, but I think 7 is probably the number that gets you in already. So if that's the case, then those three teams are going to be in, right?
Yep.
Even though there is a world where they aren't, I think that's I think that's less than 5% chance.
Yeah. I was thinking about this today with you, cause I was trying to figure out how you don't make it. And it's literally you lose out, Joey wins out. And then there's some weird tiebreaker scenario where you get just left out in the cold, but I don't see how that works. So you're probably in too.
Yeah, it's because it's really, there might be one scenario or a couple.
Yeah.
And
it's really not, after doing all that, it's not worth going down that path this early. It's just waiting for the week before.
Or I mean, if because the most wins you can get, Jonathan, is 7, right?
Correct.
You're at 4-7. So a loss from you gets all the 7-1 teams in already.
Right.
As well. So then you've got really 3 teams fighting for, or really maybe you could argue 4 teams. I don't think Mike Searles is completely mathematically eliminated. But you've got Jackson at 5-6, Joey at 5-6. We just talked about those two playing each other. It was a huge win for Joey because now that's a points 4 as far as a tiebreaker. And then you're at 4-7, Jonathan, backbreaker of a loss. You've dropped 3 in a row, which is brutal.
Super fun.
And then Mike Searles at 3-8. So Joey's schedule coming up. He plays me this week, and then he also has Mike, Staffel, and Daniel. So we talked about liking Joey's team. I feel like Joey, what do y'all think Joey does from a record perspective? 2-1 there, 1-2, 3-0.
Yes.
not 3-0.
Not 3-0. 2-1 is probably.
Okay, so 2-1 the most. 7-7.
I'm looking at y'all's matchup this week. He's got a lot of really good matchups.
Yep.
2-1 is his best, probably most accurate scenario. I think he loses this week and then wins out. I think that's what happens.
So we'll say 2-1. I think there's a higher, more a chance he could go 3-0. But 2-1 gets him to 7-7, right?
Yep.
Then you've got Jackson. Jackson plays this week. He plays Mike Searle.
Yep. This is my dad's lifeline to even stay in it. He has to win this week.
He has to win out too.
Yes.
Yes.
And this, and he's playing the guys he would tie break with. He's playing me, Jackson, and Lewis, yep. I think.
So he plays, Jackson plays Mike Searles, and he plays Lewis the next week. That noteworthy that Josh Allen plays New England that week. And then in the last week, Jackson plays you, Jonathan. And that is going to be a huge matchup potentially. What do we think Jackson does? Do you think Jackson wins 3 of those games?
No.
2 of those games, 1 of those games?
I think he has a real shot at going 1-2.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
So that would put him at 6-8 if that were the case.
Yep.
And then, Jonathan, who do you play the next 3 weeks?
So I play Jackson. Oh, excuse me. Lewis. It's my division. Lewis, my dad, then Jackson.
Yeah.
So Lewis is the one I'm most concerned about, obviously.
Y'all play this week.
Hashtag hate week.
Hate week. And if I'm going to make the playoffs, I have to beat my rival, Lewis. Yep. This is clear. No, it's funny because I'm projected to beat him. When all the lineups are said and done, it's going to be like a 1 or 2 point difference. But you know, I have a shot to win this week. It's one that I could easily drop, but it doesn't matter as long as I can play Jackson the last week where we finish with the same record. So if we're saying 1-2, if Jackson loses this week,
you need Jackson to win one of the next, lose the next one of the next 2 weeks, and you win both.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, this week is massive because Jackson could,
or Jackson goes 0-2 the next 2 weeks, and 1-1.
It doesn't. So here's my. I mean, I could argue my playoffs start today.
Yeah.
And if I win out, I'm in. So I control my own destiny. Yeah. And again, going back to the odds of me winning 3 in a row, probably not great considering I've lost 3 in a row. But I was going to make that comment about who I've lost to. I've lost to all the right teams. So I lost to the extremes. I lost to Daniel. then I lost to Senior and Stewart. So those are losses. If I'm going to lose 3, I'll take those versus Jackson you know, Jax and Joey specifically, but then also my dad who's hanging around. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm because of the way that things are set up, I could see it staying pat where I'm ninth. It just hasn't been my year, and I could see Jackson and Joey kind of falling into the playoffs. That's probably what's going to happen. But if I win this week, I think I'm in. I think I got to beat Lewis this week.
If you lose this week and Jackson wins, you're still not out of it.
Correct.
Yeah.
But then it is a I have to win every game.
That's right.
Scenario.
So let's fast forward here. We've got trade deadline next Wednesday, a week from this recording here, 6 days from people are listening at least. And you're going to have really those three teams, Joey, yourself, and Jackson, and no one's going to be out regardless of if they win or lose this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be so what, sorry, repeat Jackson, that. What's the trade deadline date again?
I thought it was just before the Thursday night game starts.
It's the Wednesday night at 10 p.m.
So a week from tonight?
Yeah.
A week from tonight.
Wednesday, November 30th at 10 p.m.
Yeah, so to your point, there's going to be there's only three teams that are definitely two teams that are out. Yeah, my dad will be the domino that falls next, really.
Yeah.
And so there's really going to be two, maybe three teams that are looking to sell or make moves, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be like the hot fire sale like it was last year. I think it's going to be a lot of roll into the last 2 weeks with what you got.
Well, it's interesting though, because this week this year, I feel like the players, the teams that have already, you know, are out of it, have already sold what they're going to sell. You know,
right.
They've sold.
Exactly.
They sold their tradable assets. Like last year, I think I sold right about this week, I think is when I made my first trade with Jackson. You know, and he bought not even the like 2 weeks before the trade deadline, because he saw the writing on the wall. So he actually kind of geared up for it and went for it. Didn't work out for him, but he did gear up for it. And he was one of those fringe teams. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of what you guys were saying. I don't expect there to be a lot of moves, maybe some smaller ancillary moves, but unless Bryce gets Kelsey, which I don't think is going to happen, but if he can swing it, that may be the biggest move. I'm not quite sure.
If Stewart gets Kelsey, that's a big move too.
Yeah, I mean.
See, but why would seniors sell Kelsey?
I'm just about to jump in and say I've talked to the source, and I don't think that's happening.
No, He's in it to win it again this year. There's nothing that would prevent him from winning.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean,
senior 7-4, right, which is a great record. He's a lot like you, Stuart, where he's hit or miss. And to ask a team that's not so consistent, and I say not so consistent, we're talking about the rest of his team, to do that three straight weeks might be a tough ask. And if there's an opportunity to spread that out for some consistency,
yeah,
knowing that he's keeping Mahomes in any situation, yeah. Mahomes still gives you the boom potential. But well, yes,
at the same time though, you're not just trading Kelsey; you're trading the player, but the stack. I mean, it's almost Kelsey on steroids. You know, you'd have to give me what the asking price would be for Kelsey, plus the effect of the stack that I'm losing. And that price is very, very high.
Let's just put it this way. Who is he keeping Kelsey again? And is Kelsey – how long do you all think Kelsey is going to continue to be this good?
I didn't think Kelsey would be this good this year. So
he's 30.
I didn't either.
All right.
He's not showing signs of slowing down. So unless it's injury related, I don't think there's a reason why he can't do something like this next year. Maybe not this high, but just on the slight downhill. And again, positionally, the advantage is so great. Why wouldn't you run that back? I don't know. Yeah. I think it'd be, you'd have to get a haul to give up Kelsey.
Yeah, I think that's the minimum asking here.
Yeah, I don't think the teams that are so Stewart and Bryce, I don't think they've got what it would take or are willing to part with that at this
point. They could pay it, but their teams may not be as competitive if they paid the appropriate.
But the funny part about that is, by doing that, you're actually moving toward the team in the way that David Senior is currently
correct. You're punching holes. You're punching holes in other positions just to get an advantage at tight end.
Right, but would Senior be better off moving? Kelsey's one of those guys where the last person to have him as a keeper is going to be the unhappy one, because the cliff is going to be there, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be fast.
I think this is a weird twist here, but whoever gets the number one seed could purposely bomb somebody by making them play Senior. I think, right? Can't you move guys around?
Let's call Bryce and see if that's what he's thinking.
You can move, basically, well, making sure Senior's on. Well, you can't move. You can't like
paint who you pick, and then whoever you pick goes to wherever that they just
switch. Yeah. So you could do that.
You could end up giving yourself, excuse me, maybe a slightly harder matchup. Just so you know, to do what Jonathan is saying,
right?
Which, I mean, it's not out of the question, you know?
I don't know.
Well, what are you going to do, Ryan? I mean, I guess that's the question.
Yeah, what are you thinking about, Ryan, as the number one seed?
I'm...
Oh, like, yeah, no words.
I said earlier, I've got reverse jinxers at my gate. I'm trying to pull it off.
Stewart, I just wonder if the number one seed curse is going to be back this year. That's what I'm curious
about. Yeah.
See, that doesn't even scare me. What scares me is seeing feet of snow on a football field. That scares me.
So. Oh, man.
That curse is the past 5 years has been more often debunked than not lately.
I know.
At what point is it not a curse anymore?
When Ryan is the number one seed and he advances in the second round.
So this Ryan
is the one. So what you're saying is I'm the 2004 Red Sox.
Yeah. You are.
That's yes.
Well, I'm going to give you a speech like Big Poppy after I win it. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So I'll see you guys in like 20 years.
Okay, well, let's move it along because this has taken about 20 years to the big board, David. I'd like to see. I know you shared it in the chat. You shared a couple of tidbits and some fun facts, and you answered the exact question that I had about my specific. I think it was 8 out of the 11 weeks. I haven't achieved my projection, which woe is me, whatever. But it's fun to see it in numbers because you feel a certain way, and it's every week it feels one way, but when you see it in the entirety of the season, you're like, this all adds up. And I think you have some updates on some kind of the what's the scoring we're doing with 12-1 or whatever.
The theoretical. I mean, I think I said
theoretical. Thank you.
Theoretical total points. It's just 12 for the highest score. I mean, Ryan is been pulling away from Bryce. It had been close for many weeks. I think Ryan's kind of separated himself. And then, you know, the top six, bottom six, Ryan now stands alone at 10-1. But I wanted to give some, at least I say historical. I've only done this board one other year. Goodness, I couldn't say that. And last year, I think we all considered Mike Staffel and Stewart to be two dominant teams. And Ryan looks to be even more dominant than that. But what's impressive is there's really, you're talking about four teams that could do what Mike and Stewart did last year as far as those metrics that I just talked about, the bottom six, top six, bottom six, and theoretical. You've got four teams that are at least 9-2 in that metric. And Stewart is 7-4, and Stewart is, I think, a strong team.
Right.
He's a top five team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Stewart said it earlier, and I chimed in from the water bet, which I think, Jonathan, you asked a question on. I guess what you did, 5-1 odds, Stewart, one of those five teams winning being Bryce, Ryan, Stewart, myself, and Senior, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
My thought, Jonathan, was I was also going to join in at 5-1, really. So you're taking, it's almost a 10-1 bet. because if one of those teams don't win, then you're getting 10 waters between two people. But that was my logic. I didn't say that.
No, that's fair. I'm still going to leave mine where it's at. Here's the only reason. I'm taking the three teams that have the least likely chance, and you've already given me odds. I just feel like, hey, let's double it up. Let's go 10 to 1.
Well, I was going to say, what if we went you have five of those teams, so you're taking a majority of the teams in the playoffs, right? So you're taking five of the eight spots. I was going to try and correlate it between that percentage.
Okay, I'll meet you in the middle. We'll go 20 to 2 odds.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, goodness. 25 to 2.5. Okay.
I can't wait for the half cup that's coming my way.
I bet I'll have you gambling by the end of the night.
So the 2.5, that's you and Stuart have a hand on – each one of you has a hand on the cup as you throw it at me. For the fifth one,
we'll take Stewart's arms because they're longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me think about it. How long do I have to think about this bet? I need to know who the bottom three teams are before I lock in.
That's fair. That's fair. you have until right now.
Well, I'm passing on that. I'm passing on that.
No, I mean, Stewart was the originator. So I mean, whatever Stewart wants to do here,
I know. It's a fun bet. I don't want to be the only one on the bet either, even though it is the three podcast hosts, but that's fine.
That's fair. I mean, 5 to 1 is probably not good enough for me to let me put it this way, Stuart. What odds would you take going the other way?
Yeah, if you were betting the bottom three teams in the playoffs to win the championship, odds would you need to get to take that bet?
More than 5 to 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, but what odds?
500 to 1. I mean,
that's why I said 10 to 1. Just
20 to 1.
It was a clean double.
No, I mean 10 to 1 is pretty fair. I feel like.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get tired of throwing 20 waters on you guys if you take this bet. Yeah, I mean, you know what's gonna happen is Lewis is gonna catch fire and win this whole thing.
Well, I was gonna say 10 to 1 is maybe more fair than not, because someone said it on the chat where the top two seeds last year, Stewart and Mike, were out in round two. It's hard to win three games in a row.
Yeah.
And you're talking three of the best teams.
You're guaranteed one of those teams in the final four. That's one thing.
That's true. That is
true. Depending on what the number one seed does, you could put it could end up where two of the worst teams are playing each other. If you do 10 to 1, I'll do it. If you do 10 to 1, I'll do it. Come on.
I have to think about that. But what I was going to say is, I mean, the big board showed what I think we talked about, just the fact that I think there's a higher tier of some really good teams, and it's probably bigger at the top than it has been in previous years. And the tier at the bottom is bad,
pretty historically bad.
And Mike Saffel's, I think, getting out of that tier within the past few weeks. He's doing all he can to get out of that. He's put up his two best weeks. And his team's not bad. And that's the weird thing about it. I mean, we just went through Joey and Jackson just talking about how their teams aren't bad, but you start looking at this stuff and they are bad, right?
That's why I don't think Joey cakewalks. I do think Mike's team is better than, because he plays Mike, correct? Staffel, Joey does, and then he plays Daniel as well. And Daniel's all over the place, but yeah, Mike I think could pull it off.
Yeah,
and then he's playing you. So anyway, the bottom three teams, I'm right on the edge there, but the bottom three teams are rough.
Yeah, so we were talking about senior team being boom or bust. Senior actually has one of the higher lowest scores on the year at 110. That's the fourth highest lowest actual score. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And you know, his difference between his highest actual and his lowest actual score is 77, which is a pretty big gap. Stewart actually leads that metric. His gap between the highest and lowest is 107 points.
That's
great. 208 being his highest, 101, really 102 being his lowest. And so
which was still chaps my hide that that was a win for him. Uh-oh. Oh, we no.
We lost him.
He didn't pack a charger. Well, we don't have a big board. Well, actually, we do. I can pull it up on the...
Yeah.
I can pull it up on my phone, at least. Hold on. Hold. We're experiencing all sorts of technical difficulties this fine evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the tier thing is pretty legit as far as Ryan and Bryce. Do you feel like that's kind of the top two teams, and then there's a break from there? Stuart, do you feel like that's
I do. Accurate? Yeah, and I mean, obviously it's not.
Because you're right there. That's the reason I asked you that. You're right there. I don't know if you feel like you belong in that conversation or if you really do feel like it's Bryce and Ryan.
No, I really do feel like it's Bryce and Ryan. Especially when you look at David's big board, and then when you look at, oh, good, they're back.
Sorry, my computer died out of nowhere.
Oh, we noticed.
When you look at David's big board, and then you also look at like the head-to-head records that I put together, like it really does. I think Ryan and Bryce are in a tier by themselves, and then there's David, myself, and Senior in another tier, and then Jackson, Lewis, you and Joey are kind of that third tier, and then the worst of the worst with Staffel, your dad, and Daniel. It's just crazy that I mean the, and I really wasn't trying to jinx Ryan. The fact that there's been 121 potential games played. You over 11 weeks playing 11 different teams for Ryan to be 101-20 is, I mean, that truly is, like, again, not trying to jinx him, but that truly is incredibly dominant. And then the opposite of that for Daniel to only have 15 wins is so incredibly horrible. Like, I don't know. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan's record is what? 9-2?
I mean, 9-2, yeah.
No. Yeah, I mean, that really 10-2 based on that math. But yeah, to your point, could easily be 11-0.
Very easily, yep. He happened to play me on the week where I scored – one of the weeks that I scored 200.
Yeah, I got 200 scored on me. Yeah. But my loss against David, I was looking at it. I think I scored 140 something, 144.
Yeah, he lost the two of the three of us.
Yeah.
Sorry. Before you guys had a malfunction on your laptop, I was making the comment about how frustrated I was that Stewart's lowest score is actually a win for him. So that really bothers me. Obviously, his highest score was a win for him as well. So his lowest and highest scores are actually wins, and I just can't stand that he won with 102 points. It's just
Well, imagine how Mike feels. His two highest scores are losses.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's tough sledding up there. But I mean, looking at next year, there's going to be a lot of really good talent going back into the pool, and the guys who were on the opposite side of it this year have a lot of draft capital. So
yes, there's a lot of first round picks sitting in some people's back pockets. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can hit on those, or if we see some more Cam Akers decisions that torpedo your team.
Yeah. So pick more Cam Akers.
I think everyone should trade their second round picks based on the last podcast.
Yeah. Not great. Kyle Pitts, not great. One of the things you mentioned, David, in the chat was the average scores to win being lower. And I find that fascinating because I do feel like it's kind of disheartening because you kind of get in your head what you expect a guy to score based off the past couple of years, especially at quarterback. And I feel like it's just been a struggle. And so I think you even see that on the weekly scores with, you know, 128, 128 a couple times, 123 one time in week six. Just feels brutal. For Ryan, it doesn't probably feel like that. He's never had a week where he hasn't experienced that, but not
brother,
really.
Brother, I'm still sore from last year, okay?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Return to the mean,
Brian. Yeah, I've taken my lumps, is all I have to say.
Well, took your lumps and now you're gonna walk away with a belt with your name on it, and I couldn't be happier for you.
So. Jonathan, you should see if Senior will let you go ahead and go take it to get it engraved early.
I've already written it in.
Okay, good.
I actually have the belt to do that, so I'll just go ahead and
send it. Oh, good. Yeah,
we're renaming the belt to the Ryan Palomo. It's not even, it's just the Ryan Palomo. That's what it's known as.
It's not the Ryan Palomo belt. It's just
no, it's the Ryan Palomo.
Yeah, we're actually replacing the main part of the belt where it used to have the logo.
Hey, I ordered that thing, a decade ago.
Leslie created that wonderful logo that we still use.
Yep.
And we're just going to change it to Ryan's face.
Yeah. tell David he needs to talk closer to the microphone.
Can you tell him that he needs to pull tighter on the string that's attached to the can he's talking through? That'd be great.
Is that better? Am I better than Jonathan now?
We can hear
much
you now.
Better. Much better.
Okay. There you go. Sorry. I apologize.
Doesn't take much to be much better than me in anything these days.
All right, it's almost Thanksgiving. Let's move it to power rankings.
Okay. Nothing else to talk about. Okay. Power rankings. Do 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 boop. Okay. Well, power rankings.
I'm gonna let I think the power rankings, Stuart, you just went through actually. For all of us. I don't think there's anything really worth talking about. Maybe you could talk about me and you and how we flip flop 3 and 4. But what I actually really want to hear is Ryan's power rankings, and I just want y'all to just give us live feedback of his rankings, because they do not match up with the experts.
Yep,
I'm wrong.
Go ahead,
and I'll let y'all handle this.
Ryan, go ahead.
Well, let's start at the bottom.
Wrong. Wrong. We go 1 to 12 here.
Okay. Number one, I have, and I think it's obvious. We all agree. I think we would all. We're all in agreement here, right? That Bryce is number one. Number one on his fantasy football budget for the year. number one in our hearts. Look, his team has the fewest question marks.
Especially once he gets Kelsey.
Yeah, once he gets Kelsey. Well, I'm assuming he gets Kelsey. Gotcha. Yeah. ETN is coming on strong. You look at his... you look at his matchups for the playoffs, and I think the biggest thing is that I'm kind of looking in the mirror here. If Ja'Marr Chase has success, that means that Joe Burrow has success. McCaffrey is in a better matchup moving forward. Barkley's team is going to be fighting for the playoffs.
So you got Bryce number one.
Yeah, I've got Bryce number one.
So you're number two, right?
No. I believe that, to use Stewart's words against him, I have to put somebody who has a higher ceiling, you know, who's more potential for boom at number two. So I have Stewart at number two. Again, I think we're all in agreement. Number three.
That actually makes some sense.
Can I need to ask you a serious question. Just all kidding aside, I need to ask you a very serious question.
This is going to be a serious question.
Are you expecting?
How scared of you, Stuart?
Are you expecting like a flood anytime soon? Because the amount of sandbags you're throwing around right now is out of control.
The jinxers are at my gate, Jonathan. I don't know what to tell you.
How can you have Stewart at two? Other than Stewart, his logo resembling a number two, how could he be at two?
We're talking about Jackson's logo or Stewart? I'm confused.
Oh, well.
Jackson's logo looks like Stewart. Stewart has.
I'm still offended by that.
You wish death upon my starting running back. I don't want to hear it.
Okay, yes. So you have you at three. So how are you at three? By what metric are you? What do you do? Go ahead.
My flex player is at. He's got a hip issue. He's got a hip pointer. I don't know if he's even going to play this week. Jamar Chase is who I'm talking about.
It's really hindered you the past 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So go on.
My starting running back is a injury away from a shoulder pointer away from derailing my season. I can't trade for his backup, Alexander Mattison. Jalen Hurts has never been there before. He's never led a team like this. It's first time to do it. Mark Andrews is injured. The three starting running backs I have on my bench are unproven. And to be honest with you, my biggest question mark, Max Crosby, I don't know if he can keep up his dominance this year is really what it is.
So this is really about the underdog story that is Ryan Palomo's team in 2022 and how you're going to overcome all of these challenges to walk your way to a championship. Just walk off.
You said it best. Really, what I'm not going to let happen, I'm not going to let Stewart lose Cooper Kupp and then all of a sudden pretend like, you know, he's an underdog. I'm not going to let that happen. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to make Bryce and I the big bad wolf. So,
Stewart, how do you feel about being number two in Ryan's power rankings?
And in our hearts. I mean,
and Ryan being at three. Stewart is just – Stewart is so upset right now.
I don't understand how I'm not number one on Ryan's.
Oh, my God.
Technically. After everything he just said about me. I think if we're being honest, Ryan's quarterback is so good it hurts. His running backs are running hard. They're not using a walker. He doesn't have too many cooks in the running back position. He's just got one cook. So, and with his other wide receiver, man, if you can digs it, I can digs it. So better be chasing the rest of those running back receiving core for Ryan because Andrews.
Buddha.
Just kidding. I don't care. That's all just jibber jabber to me. Everything Ryan just said, he is the big bad wolf. I don't know what he's talking about. He's dominated the whole year. So he is the team to beat. I do feel like he's going to be the first team, the number one team this year, and he's going to go out in the first round. I hope he picks someone.
Whoa. Slow down.
I hope he picks someone just to like mess the scenarios up a little bit. And whoever that is going to wipe the floor with him. So
what? No. You took us all to the edge here, Stewart. Just say it. Who do you want me to pick? Do you want to face me in the first round, Stewart? Just say it.
Oh, I would pay you five real dollars if you picked me.
The stakes are so high right now.
Oh my gosh. I hope you play me.
I hope I beat you too.
It's after midnight, man. God. It's after midnight. Talking?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Hate week. You and I don't hate each other, Stuart. Let's this is hate week.
Yeah, seriously.
We're your friends.
I hate Stuart, remember?
We should combine our teams.
Hey, would y'all? What if we allowed Mike Searles and Daniel to combine teams? Would y'all be scared of their team?
No.
Who's managing?
Sorry, Daniel and Mike Searles.
Who's
Daniel's managing it, it would be traded. And
I know weeks. That's what I was gonna say. Daniel combines the team and then trades it away.
It would be sitting. It would be sitting on cinder blocks by Sunday.
That's a great way to put it.
Oh my gosh.
Man.
What a question. All right. Well, let's just get to picks of the week, guys.
Okay.
Picks of the week. Bow, bow, bow.
All right. Well, let's start with the most important game of this year. Actually, let's do that one last.
No.
You want to do that one first?
I don't even know which one.
The championship of this season, the matchup we've all been waiting for, the one that has a water bet online at, what, 10-1 odds?
Mm.
Yes.
Bring a swimsuit, Brycey.
We've got the final countdown.
Let's go with Brycey.
There's still double trouble.
Is that Bland or is that Brycey?
Is this the week that it goes triple trouble?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Tomorrow is a very big day for our matchup. We've got some pretty heavy hitters going.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. It's Brycey.
You got one more in there.
149 for Brycey versus 169 for Ryan. What a projection that is. My word. Do y'all think Ryan hits this projection? He's got Chase coming back, Andrews, Diggs at Detroit playing tomorrow. That's a big matchup. We're playing today.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Dalvin Cook tomorrow or today, Thanksgiving, versus New England. That's a tough matchup there. And then you've got McCaffrey, Joe Burrow have nice matchups. And we've got a new tight end for Brycey. What do y'all think about Evan Ingram? Difference maker?
No.
I stopped listening after Ingram.
There it is. Well, I've got Ryan to win. I think Bryce will think he has a chance, but he really doesn't. I'm pretty confident in Ryan this week. I've got Ryan at 5 points.
Good.
Who's going?
I'll go.
Okay.
You go. Wait, you go. I've got Ryan at 2. I think he's going to win. It'll be a little closer than the experts think, but Brycey is going down. After this, he may wish we just called him Preston.
Seriously.
I got Ryan with a confidence level of 1. This is going to be a chocolate starfish.
Put your hands up. How did you, Stuart, just a side note, Stuart, how did you feel about him calling you Little Stew? Was that what he called you? He tried to make it happen.
Was it a Stuart Little, like, joke that was not good?
Yes.
I don't know. It didn't stick.
That's like most of Bryce's jokes.
Hey, they don't.
They don't really land.
They're not. Yeah. Yeah.
I do think this matchup is going to be close. I think within 20, 15-ish.
So handily. And I saw my reflection.
No, that's not handily.
No. Oh, yeah, that's Landslide.
My hands are small, I know.
I know, but they're not yours, they are my own.
That's all.
Did y'all listen to the podcast last week when Jonathan was, after 3 years of doing this, wanted to know if I was actually purposely
doing it on purpose? He asked the question we were all wondering.
I asked if you were getting off.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I didn't
hear you say that. And then you're like, you're gonna listen back, and I was like, oh man, yeah, I did. I did listen back.
Kind of like Goddard's yogurt.
Extra creamy. All right.
I don't know. I really moving on. I think it was the Go-Gurts. I think it was the Go-Gurts. That's
y'all think Ryan wins by more or less than what the projection is, which is 19 points.
Less.
I agree.
Chocolate less. Starfish.
Mm, okay. All right. We'll see. All right.
Ryan, by the way, what ranking do you have yourself?
I think it's going to be close, but I'm confident that it's going to be close in a win. So level 6.
Level 6. Okay. Wow.
DEFCON 6 for Bryce after this matchup.
Mm-hmm. Straight for another tight end.
All right. Well, let's move it along. We've got Lewis playing just in time, Jonathan Searles. Big matchup, 4-7, Jonathan.
Okay.
You are currently projected. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you guys, are you trolling me, picking me at a confidence level of 6? I don't like this. This is I chose myself at a confidence level of 6 just because.
I didn't choose you that high. I'm not that confident.
Okay. I'm going to let Stuart answer.
No, I wasn't trolling you, but I mean, you're 50% chance to win.
What?
57%. You've got Antonio Gibson in your.
Is that what it is?
I think he's going to be the difference maker for you, and
is anyone playing at Castle, Stuart?
Nah. Oh yeah, Herbert's in a castle. Herbert's in a castle.
Jefferson's in a castle.
Justin, the move. Just in time for the tea and strumpets. So,
What's the forecast looking for the move on Monday? Will he be loof?
He's in a castle. He'll be fine. So yeah, no, I just. You know, Jonathan picked himself, and I copied and pasted. And
okay, this checks out.
Okay, so moving on.
I like Jonathan this week. I've got it at a confidence level 4. I'm going to read Lewis's last 5 week scoring wise. Okay, and you tell me if this is good. 116.42.
No.
123.97.
No.
75.90. One. 120.60.
No.
And then 97.38.
Sorry, are you reading his or mine?
I'm reading his.
And do Jonathan's next.
He's projected for 123 this week, so kind of in line. Let's read Jonathan's last 5 weeks here.
Yeah, do Jonathan. Do it.
115.97.
Yeah.
170.18.
Hello.
Hello.
110.12.
Okay.
111.74.
Ooh, better.
Improving.
104.65.
Not the improving.
The fan.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think you've got a better than zero chance of winning, Jonathan. So,
I appreciate that. I've got me confidence level of 6. My playoffs start today.
I think that's the next thing for you, Jonathan, is you will know what you need to do maybe after Thursday, because Josh Allen is obviously – the Josh Allen Gabe Davis stack.
How ridiculous.
That's what's going to – so I picked my dad at a confidence level of 2. I think the final knife in Jonathan's back on the season is going to be when Gabe Davis, who Jonathan traded for, drops like a 30-burger on him.
Oh yeah.
This week. I don't know if it'll happen. I'm not confident, but if it did, that would be the backbreaker.
How ridiculous is it that the scenario in which the Bills had to relocate to Detroit actually helps them for this week, the week that I have to play him. The Bills have been in Detroit for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And it's basically a home game. I hate
the Detroit Bills. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, well, what I was going to say is the nice thing for you, though, about that, Jonathan, is you're going to know tomorrow afternoon. what you need to maybe be doing with your lineup if you need to just be going for home run hitters. Because there's a chance that you might need to. Hold on, let me
Let me scroll down on my bench looking for those home run hitters that I'm benching. yeah. Right now, the best one I'm seeing is empty.
I think you can go make a move via trade or whatever. But that's up to you, obviously. But you're going to know one way or another what you maybe need to do. You're going to need to
find a really good Tyreek's available.
Oh, is he?
For the right price.
Joshua Palmer is a great player, and you're already playing him, right?
Yeah. But
he's the guy who did 32 points last week, and the week before that did 5.
Yep. Right? And you're guess what? I played him when he played. We scored 5, and I benched him when he scored 32. So,
So if you
here we go.
Sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
So what David is saying, you'll know if you need to make better decisions.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the worst thing is that happening on Sunday, and then you can't figure it out. That's the one pro Thursday game.
So you'll know if you're going to sulk in misery over the weekend or just
– Lewis is – after Thursday, his projection is not going to be 123. It's either going to be 95 or it's going to be 160.
Yep. There is no in-between.
You're
going to
know.
In-between.
Similar to David Senior. So you're going to – that's all I'm saying.
I will say that Chubb and Hunt are vastly underrated in these projections. They'll probably score a combined 50 points on me, but, you know, that's just my experience with playing Lewis. Okay, I think we've talked about this enough. This is the make-or-break week for me probably, but we'll find out. We'll find out what happens on the next show, if I'm selling everything or if I'm trying to run the table. What's next? Poopas Troopas?
Yeah, Koopas.
Poopas Troopas Koopas. And the E&E Express.
Yes, this is a playoff primer matchup, potentially first round right here.
Stuart, I have a question for Stuart. How do you feel confidence-wise going into a matchup with Senior? Do you just – you have a 20-point projected win – or 18-point projected win, do you feel like that's fair? Do you feel like that's just a bunch of gobbledygook and you're probably going to lose by 30?
I mean, I still really love my team, but playing against Senior, I have no confidence whatsoever. So
I was expecting a response like, first of all, how dare you? Second of all, no. I really love my team.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hate playing him. So, I mean... The thing that helps a little bit is you look at some of his outside of Mahomes and Kelsey, his team's not incredible. I feel like I'm other than those two positions, I really feel like I've got a better team.
Watch out for Zeke and Mostert. Don't sleep on him.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping on him, but. I don't
think... Hey, don't sleep with them either, okay?
No.
The Mostert to Tyreek, you know, layer of this is interesting, meaning if Mostert and what's his name, the other Jeff Wilson are running it in, preventing points from the two Tyreek staff.
Big swings.
Big swing as well. So this is the matchup of big swings. Ayuk
has actually been pretty consistent.
Ayuk's been pretty good.
He had a big week last week.
Two catches, two touchdowns. Nice.
Yeah, give me Senior. Give me Senior at a 2.
I've got Stewart at a 3.
I've got Stewart at a 3.
I've got Stewart at a 3.
Well, looks like I'm making up points there.
You're just a solid 3, Stewart. Congratulations. Yep.
We won't say on what scale. All right, yeah, moving on.
Well, do we have the minions drop here?
Yeah, let me play it. Who are we playing that for? I'm guessing it's for injured reserve and biggest loser.
Yeah, injured reserve and the biggest loser. They are combined projected for 118 and 121. Those are very good projections.
What would you rather be, injured reserve or the biggest loser? Not their actual, just the team names. Would you rather be an injured reserve or the biggest loser? These teams make me sad.
No, the biggest loser because things are looking up.
These teams.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the biggest, if you're the biggest loser, then that means that you have lost a lot of weight. So I'm
After you go get all your wings clipped and your fat skin trimmed off,
y'all have converted me versus injured reserve. You've got a long road ahead of you, a big comeback. You got to work through it. Mm-hmm. That probably sums up Daniel's path to relevance over the next couple years. So,
God, Daniel, I'm so sorry. I keep the helmet on. Yeah,
I feel bad too because he's still got that little Kamara cartoon guy as his icon on his.
Listen, I appreciate the way Daniel's handled this season. I think Mike is still working through figuring out how to handle this season. But Daniel's got to figure it out. So I give Daniel kudos.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Daniel's team is a powerhouse and just a force to be reckoned with. Do not ever doubt him.
You know who I don't doubt? It's Mike Staffel. I've got him at a confidence level of 6 this week.
I've got him at a confidence level of 5, so I'm right there with you.
I don't want to ever hear that I don't like Mike. So, I love DeAndre Swift on his team.
Well, that's for non-fantasy football reasons. We're talking fantasy only here, so.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm out.
I've got Mike over Daniel with a confidence level of 4 and a tsunami.
Tsunami.
Tsunami. I've got Staffel confidence level of 4.
Mm.
That pains me because
you hate Mike.
Yeah, we're bitter enemies. But
2 matchups left.
Hate week.
2 matchups left. Right, we've got. You want to do Deeb's nuts?
Yeah, let's see Deeb's nuts.
Beg your pardon. No,
that has nothing to do with fantasy football. I was just asking you a question.
Oh.
Mm.
I don't want to.
And we've also got Team Batman 57. By far the best team name ever created. Team Batman 57.
That's right. We should combine.
Has anyone told him to has anyone told him to change? Take team off.
No, he knew what he was doing. He's Team Batman.
Wait, hold on. Jonathan, I have a question. When he worked for Baseball Express, wasn't it Team Baseball Express for a while? Hmm. It was something like that. Anyway, I that's what I thought. I just had a
You think that bled into his fantasy football thing?
Yeah, I think he just every time he writes a name, he chooses a name. Like he takes Marie to dinner. Sir, can I have a name for the reservation? Team Mike's Rolls, please.
Was Jackson's job title Deeb's Nuts, and he's carrying that over?
Jackson should change his name to Team carrying Deeb's Nuts
over, yeah.
We should all add team in front of our names.
Well, what do you guys think of the actual matchup? Because I think we've exhausted all that we can on the team names.
Hmm. This tight end matchup's one to watch, guys. Dalton Schultz versus Hockenson.
I've got Team Batman 57 with the upset here. Yes, it's a little bit selfish on my side of things because I need Jackson to lose, but the projections have it as a less than a touchdown lead for Jackson there, so. Jacoby Brissett at quarterback is not inspiring. I know he's got Deshaun Watson, but I don't know about handcuffing him with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
So I'm laughing and watch Brissett's gonna go off for like 4 touchdowns, I'm sure.
Because if he hears this, he for sure will just to throw it in your face.
Brissett's gonna call audible everything to Hail Marys. You're right. give me Mike Strolls with a confidence level of 3.
I've got Jackson with a confidence level of 1. It'll be a close one.
Jack, I pick Jackson to win, but I hate picking Jackson to win when I see Brissett at quarterback. Like, I want to change it. I only gave it a confidence level of 1. I love Jackson's team besides this. Christian Watson, he's had 5 touchdowns the past 2 weeks.
No, and Jackson didn't play him. Either of those didn't play.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen this week is Watson is not going to do much of anything.
No, he's going to have 3 points this week.
So between the Brissett and Watson, you know, mega stack that that is, I don't know why I picked Jackson, but I did at one at confidence level of one.
Same.
I would love to see Mike Searles win for just more playoff chaos.
They would keep
himself in the hunt as well, but that's just me wanting chaos.
Yeah, I picked Jackson to win. I think that part of the reasons Brissett's got that mighty wind behind him this week in Tampa Bay. So I think he's going to double his projection. Brissett will.
I'll water bet that right now.
I think he'll be in the 30s. He had 34 points last week against Buffalo, just FYI. So
okay, so you water betting that?
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Typing it in the 30? Chat now.
Oh my word.
Jeez. He probably felt bad. He only offered me $5 to pick him.
I guess I said sure. Okay.
Yep, you sure did.
I'd like to join this, but that's not fair.
No, I'm only offering it to Jonathan.
I immediately retract any other offers.
Okay, I may or may not write that one in, but okay, so come on, Jackson, win it for me.
Gipper.
Okay, win it for the Gipper.
Would you rather Jackson lose and Brissett score 30 or Jackson win for you? So you
absolutely. I would rather Jackson lose and Brissett score 30.
All right, just want to be clear. All right, well, that leads us to our last matchup.
This would be yours.
Yes, this is a team that should add team in front of their name. Team Meh versus the Waddle House. We drove by on our way to Tennessee here. I don't know how many Waffle Houses.
Not enough Waffle Houses in Texas.
None in San Antonio, actually. Nope. Guys, I'm not feeling good about my matchup this week. I got a lot of reds. And Justin Fields.
Is Fields going to play?
I don't know. He might. I might get a zero at my quarterback this week. We'll see.
I mean, it says he has torn ligaments in shoulder. Do you need untorn ligaments in your shoulder to throw?
Well, to be
for points now.
No.
Listen, to be fair, it's his non-throwing shoulder. And also, if it's not his legs, then he's fine.
That's right. That's fair.
And you don't need ligaments to throw.
I know that for a fact. No arms and no legs is basically how you exist right now, Kevin.
Oh my gosh.
So Joey's got a bunch of good matchups. You go look at his. He's got favorable matchups. I think Joey needs a win to kind of control his own destiny. I think he could get a win. I'm not predicting that. I've got myself at a confidence level 2, but I am scared.
Hmm. Yeah.
Not that I'm out of shape. I'm just scared.
I agree. I think Joey really needs a win, and I think he knows it. The trouble is his players don't know it. So give me David with a confidence level of 5.
Yeah, I've got David with a confidence level of 4 just because Tony Pollard has been bailing Joey out left and right the past month. It's not going to happen this week. Not gonna work here anymore. David with a confidence level of 5.
David, 4.
Lock it up.
All right, well, happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Guys, sorry I don't have any kind of audio stuff working. Do you want to play us out, Stuart? Or do you want me to – you want to say your closing words and I'll close us out with the song?
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. There's only one turkey in this league, and that is Ryan. See ya. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye-bye.
Usually you go longer. I was going to let you finish your thought.
That's what she said.
Do 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 do